What's up and welcome to the Single Player Experience, the podcast that helps single player gamers manage their video game backlog. I'm your host, Sebastian Malden, and my main quest is to help you manage your ever-growing video game backlog by letting you know which single player games are worth your time and money so that you can have the best single player experience. This episode is the Single Player Experience Weekly Recap. This is where I batch together all the video games that were talked about during the week into one episode that you can get every single Friday. Now, let's start the show. You know, when you get hungry and you don't want to deal with the hassle of sitting down at a restaurant, you just want something fast and inexpensive to eat, so you go through a drive-thru. I've done this tons of times, probably more times than I care to admit. But anyways, you grab something that tastes good, gets you full, but you know there are higher quality experiences out there. The creme de la cremes, the five-star restaurant, so to speak. Well, video games have that too. Something that satisfies you, but isn't a five-star restaurant experience. Well, the game I'm going to talk about today is a lot like going through a drive-thru. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. It's a good game. It's a game that gives a high value at a very modest and inexpensive price point. So, let's talk about this game. Have you ever wondered what kind of game you get if you fuse Fable, Immortal Phoenix Rising, and Dark Souls? Probably not, but in case you have, just know that you get a game called Asteragos: Curse of the Stars. Asteragos is a Greek and Roman fantasy-based RPG by Acme Game Studio. In this game, you play as Hilda, who's a young warrior who seeks to rescue her father after his platoon goes missing. In order to get information on her missing people, she must help the Ephesian people break a curse. As she strives to solve the mystery behind the curse, she learns more about the history of the people she's trying to help, the mission her father was sent to do, and she discovers who she really is. The story is a big plus for this game. I'm a sucker for world building and lore, and this game provides them in abundance. The main story is straightforward, but it's engaging. You can also explore additional dialogue options, notes, and side quests to get more background behind the overall narrative. So, let's talk about the gameplay. In this game, you're given 6 different weapons right at the start of the game. Whereas a lot of games make you choose a class and stick with it, the cool thing about Asteragos is that you can swap weapons out anytime you want to. Each weapon has its own pros and cons and allows the player to lean towards a playstyle that works for them, or works best in certain situations. Similar to the Souls games, you have a health bar and a stamina bar to manage while fighting. It kind of keeps you on your feet, and if you are familiar with that trope from Demon Souls, Dark Souls, or any Souls game, then you already know what's up here. The players are also given a massive skill tree with tons of different ways that you can upgrade Hilda's abilities and your weapon skills. I lean towards the sword and shield myself, and the magic staff. The magic staff allows you to use spells and take out your opponents from a distance. The sword and shield, on the other hand, gave me a nice blend of offense and defense. Blocks, parries, and dodges become necessary because the enemies don't hold back. That brings me to the game's difficulty. While it's not as tough as the Souls games, it's fairly challenging. Don't let the game's art style fool you. Your enemies are out for blood and won't hesitate to kill you. However, as long as you continue to upgrade your character, you should overcome all obstacles placed in front of you. The combat is serviceable, but isn't really enough to stand out or feel memorable. It's not bad, but the problem is, it's not really great either. It's just kinda there. That seems to be a theme with this game, because you get a similar feeling with the art style. There are moments where the game looks really good. I'm talking about really, really good. It comes out of the gate with some impressive visual moments. The main character Hilda and the monsters that you fight are detailed and presented very well. For example, Hilda has a really solid visual cutscene that happens when you die and get revived. And then there are moments where the game looks absolutely rough and dated. There are moments where this game kind of feels like it belongs in that 360 or PS3 era. To make matters worse, it also has some texture mapping issues. It's a shame because there are some really solid moments that this game has visually, but I really wish the game could have been consistent with its visual presentation. Another flaw, and one of the worst aspects of the game, is this exploration. I'm not fronting with you, it's really bad. The city has tons of pathways for you to explore, yet there isn't a usable map to help you navigate. While there are some landmarks that stand out, a lot of the game looks similar, so As a result, I spent way too much time trying to figure out where to go next. The exploration and the lack of a map is a major pain point of this game. Overall, Asteragos Curse of the Stars feels unique, fun, yet middle of the road. The game has solid highs like the lore and the unique ways it uses familiar tropes, yet it has big lows like the exploration and its lack of visual consistency. This game is a fun time, but unfortunately it's not a memorable one. Despite that though, I do think there are some people who are really, and I'm talking about really, going to enjoy this game. I really want to shout out that this is a very solid first game from Acme Game Studio. So let's talk about the people I'd recommend this game to. I'd recommend Asteragos to gamers who want a different style of Souls games. If you're into those Souls type games, then this game is going to be right up your alley. I'd also recommend it to people who like the Fable games and like Immortal Phoenix Rising, because this game has a lot of similar tropes to those games as well. If you're that type of gamer that I just described, then I definitely think you should check this one out. This game is cheap and it's one that will give you hours and hours of playtime. I swiftly dodged to the right and unloaded a round right into the demon. The demon's blood splattered everywhere. I stepped over its body while quickly reloading my shotgun. I shot two nearby demons and began to reload again. Move, kill, reload, and shoot again. This cycle is something that I've become well accustomed to. For you see, in this world, sticking and moving is the only way you stay alive. If you stop, if you make one mistake, the waves of demons will take you down. You are humanity's last line of defense. You are the last hope. So you do what you do best. You take the fight to the enemy. If you run out of ammo with one gun, you switch to another and you finish the job. Hell has come to Earth. To survive, you have to move, kill, reload, and shoot. It's a tough job, but thankfully, I'm damn good at doing it. So this story sums up the experience of the game that I'm going to recommend to you today. I know it sounds like Doom, but it's not. However, this game is a love letter to the retro Doom games. Let's dive into why you should check this one out. Have you ever wanted to play a game that has 2016's Doom and Doom Eternal's gameplay, but with the retro low-resolution poly art style? If you have, Prodeus is the game you're absolutely looking for. Prodeus is an indie first-person shooter that was developed by Bounding Box Software. In Prodeus, you are a cyborg and one of the last remaining humans. You're given the task to take down demons in front of you, and boy, do you ever. If you have an appetite for gory and bombastic violence, then this FPS is an all-you-can-eat buffet. So, let's talk about the gameplay. If you play Doom, then you understand exactly how this game plays. For those unfamiliar, you're given guns and placed in a fast-paced war zone where it's good to have the mantra, shoot first or die first. For the most part, Prodeus does everything it sets out to do exceptionally well. While I would have liked some more enemy types, the ones we face off against are very well designed. The developers made it to where enemies could be splattered, dismembered, and each possess multi-death animations. Those details add a level of immersion and really help prevent the game from feeling repetitive. In shooter games, it's often essential for the game to feel right. There's an art to making that gunplay feel right, you know what I mean? The kickback, the responsiveness, the sound and impact all has to feel right in a shooter. Thankfully, this game nails each of those aspects. Every gun feels good to play with, and no gun really feels like a dud. I also want to give a shout out to the way you quickly reload every single weapon in the game. And that leads me to the overall plus of the game. The swift kinetic movements and the way this game always makes you feel fast, yet you're completely in control. Everything comes at a fast pace, but the game does a masterful job of making you feel like you can always turn the tide of every single battle. Another thing I want to shout out is the atmosphere and the level designs. They are absolutely top notch. Even though this game clearly has that 90s retro filter, it still looks very detailed with realistic lighting and particle effects. I love how many secrets there are packed in every single level. It gives you something to really look for when you aren't mowing down enemies. I will warn you though, every level in this game, every single level is absolutely huge. It's very reminiscent of the lengthy levels in Halo Combat Evolved. For some of you, that might sound daunting, but the action and the exploration keeps the levels from feeling overstuffed and bloated. Another plus of the game is the solid level editor. On PC, you can dive right into creating levels for others to enjoy, and on consoles, you can download and check out those community-made levels. it's not at the end surface level creation suite either. If you can dream it, it's likely that you can create it with the tools that you're given here. Here are the flaws that I found in this game. First was the lack of direction the game provides. It's very, and I mean very easy to get lost. That's impressive considering this game has a map. It has a map included, but yet it's still easy to get lost in this game. The problem lies in the fact that said map is challenging to read. It's not the biggest issue. Don't get me wrong, it's not the biggest issue in the world, but it's one that plagued me nevertheless. Another negative I had with the game was the thin narrative. I get it, you don't play these types of boomer shooters for the story. No, no one picks up this game and like, I think I'm about to have a bomb-ass story. No one says that. But it would have been nice to still have a story-centric reason to invest in the action that's happening on the screen. I get it, it's not the type of genre, but I would have still liked to seen a little effort put into the story. Overall, Perdias is a wildly fun time. It's a true love letter to retro shooters, and it's also a well-designed modern shooter game. There are tons of replay value here due to the game's insanely detailed and robust level crafting system. I kid you not, this game is so good that you wouldn't have guessed that this was a crowd-funded project. Seriously, Perdias is one of the best shooters in 2022. This is definitely a game fans of the genre should have in their collection. In this show, we practice the 10 games backlog rule. In this practice, you log down 10 games. Those games are going to be your video game backlog. To be as productive as you possibly can be, we recommend that you only play 3 games at one time. One single player narrative game, one game that's going to be your chill and relax game, and another game that's going to be your palate cleanser game, which is a game that you play when you're not in the mood for your other narrative games. When you complete or get tired of one game, it leaves the backlog list. Then you decide which new game is added to the list, and which game on the list advances to your active 3 games. So, where should Perdias fit in your video game backlog? This is a rare game that I think could fit in any of the 3 primary slots. You can play this game as your primary focus and mow through it in about a weekend. However, you can also play it when you want to just chill and relax, or when you need a palate cleanser game to play when you don't want to play something that's narrative heavy. Either way, in any of the slots you want to play it, Perdias is a damn good time. I picked up the broomstick and stomped sharply down at the end, breaking off the mop part. I walked up to the group of 6 that I have grown to know oh so well. I've been fighting these 6 for about 2 years now. So far, I haven't managed to beat them, and they killed me every single time I've tried. I know what you're asking. How am I here to face them if they've already killed me? Well, I have a magic talisman that resurrects me every time I died. Handy, right? Well, there's a catch. Every time I die, I age 1 year. Sure, I get older and magically stronger, but as with life, my health diminishes a little bit as well. It's a double-edged sword, but one that's been useful against my enemies. Speaking of which, my enemies in this room don't seem to know that I'm here yet. I run up to the closest one and wind back my makeshift staff and swing. It cracks loudly against his skull and he slumps down instantly. Well, they know I'm here now and the fight is officially on. Thankfully, I've trained for this for years as a martial artist. The next 2 closest guys make it to me at the exact same time, both swinging wild right hooks. I brought up my staff to block the strike from the first guy on the left. I intentionally take the strike from the one on the right. The strike to the jaw is a small price to pay because the momentum of his punch provides me with an opening. I kick down with the same strike that broke the end of my staff. The loud snap lets me know that I broke his ankle. Yeah, he's out of the fight. The guy on the left is stunned. The delay cost him. I twirl my staff quickly and sweep the legs out from underneath him. As soon as he hit the ground, I brought my staff down hard across his chest. It's not enough to end the fight with him, but my sidekick to his face is. He lies very still afterwards. The 3 remaining enemies just observed while all this was happening. The first 2, the 2 in the front, both had an average build, but the one in the back was a massive man, and he looked like he missed his calling as a sumo wrestler. He's the one. Him. Right there. He's the one who killed me the last 2 times I faced this group. Seeing what happened to their other friends, it must have made them cautious, because instead of rushing in like their fallen friends, they each pick up a bottle from the table and walk slowly up to me. They encircle me. Normally, I wait for an opponent to go on the offensive. I'm usually a defensive-minded striker, but not this time. This time, I'm going on the offensive. I use the stick as a launching point and propel myself into the biggest one. We fall back into the table behind them. I recover quickly and roll to my feet. The other two rush in at the same time, bottles raised above their heads. I block both strikes with each of my arms. I quickly headbutt the nearest guy and unleash a quick combo of open palm strikes to the other. He blocks a few, but one manages to slip in and breaks his nose. He recoils back and puts his hands up to his nose to assess the damage. Bad mistake. I capitalize on the opening and kick him right in his open ribs. He slumps down and doesn't move. I turn around to see my final opponents, both on their feet, staring at me with a burning look of hatred. Perhaps a little bit of fear as well. The smaller one pushes the big guy towards me and says, "You take him." The massive man charges towards me with his two tree trunk-like arms raised above his head. Last time, I foolishly tried to block the same attack and wound up with both of my shoulders dislocated. This time, I decided to strike before his clubbing arms came down. I punched upwards right into his throat. He went down hard, holding his throat. I must have crushed his windpipe because he started wheezing. "Yay! Yay!" I looked down on him and kicked him right in the head. It might be excessive, but I need to make sure that he stays out of the fight. I look up at the last guy. He's hauling ass right out of the door that I used to enter the room. I'll let him go. After all, I'm only after the guy behind the door that these guys were guarding in the first place. That's who I'm really after. I walk up to those doors, determined. This is what I've been training for, what I've been dying for, literally in this case. Behind these doors is one of the six men responsible for killing my sensei, my father. I bottle down my excitement and steel my nerves for the fight ahead. I open the door, ready to get my revenge. So, everyone, this is a story about my experience with an early level from the game that I'm going to recommend to you today. This game is called Sifu. So, what is Sifu and who is it for? Sifu is a roguelike action beat-em-up game by the French studio Slowclap. You play as the child of a martial arts school's Sifu. After seeing your father get brutally murdered, you set out on a quest for revenge. Let's talk about the gameplay and the art style of this game. In Sifu, you use light and heavy attacks, blocks, dodges, and parries to take the fight to your opponents. This game features a combo system very similar to fighting games in a lot of ways. You can pick and choose the combos that you like to use against your opponents and when you want to use them. It's a cool feature that allows you to kind of customize a fighting style that suits you. However, for people who aren't really big into fighting games, trying to execute the combos can seem very overwhelming, to say the least. Overwhelming can be a pretty heavy theme of this game, because unlike other games where the goons politely wait for their turn to attack you, these guys don't play by the same rules. They will actively try to use their numbers to their advantage. To level the playing field though, the game gives you the ability to use weapons and maneuver around obstacles to kind of divide and conquer them. Sifu is kind of like a thinking man's fighting game because you have to use the environments and your combos to your advantage. One of the dopest things about this game is that it oozes style and charisma. Every level has its own flavor and own unique vibe. I never, and I mean never, seen anything quite like the levels in Sifu. And I'm not exaggerating. It's truly special the way the game uses color and shadows and its really cool art style to make you feel like you're playing a modern-day martial arts movie. One flaw about this game is that I don't think it's very accessible to gamers who don't typically play fighting games. The game is so combo-focused and based that if you're not used to playing fighting games, then this is a very, very steep learning curve. Another flaw is the game's complex ways of unlocking said combos and moves. The method and the systems in place to unlock combos and moves seem like they could have been more streamlined and more gamer-focused. It really feels like these systems are in place to kind of pad the game out and make the game longer than it needs to be. Speaking of the flaws of this game, there are also times when I felt like in addition to fighting the enemies on the screen, I was also fighting the camera. It's not the worst camera in the world, don't get me wrong. It's not like some of the bad cameras that we got during the PS2 or like the early PS3 era games. No, it's not quite that egregious, but there are times when I'm in a groove with combos and someone off the screen hits me and kind of breaks everything up. Occasionally, this led to me dying. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's enough that it's a frustration, to be honest. So overall, Sifu is a lot like martial arts. It requires dedication, practice, learning, and discipline to play this game. Many will be put off by the game's steep learning curve and difficulty. Because let's be honest, even the less punishing student mode, which is the game's easy mode, will be a challenge to those who don't normally play any games of this genre, both of the fighting genre where you have to input combos and the beat-em-up genre. So if you're a stranger to both of those, just know, if you play Sifu, you're in for a rough haul. You're gonna have to learn to get good. This game encourages you to get good. But if you're willing to accept that and willing to kind of put in some work into mastering a game and really learning the nuances and the combos and the ins and outs of the environment, then this game is perfect for those who want that kind of challenge. If you're looking for a game that's more akin to the combat system in the Arkham games, or you want a pick up and play type of game, kind of like something that has easy controls, this shit ain't for you. This is not going to be for the weak. Even the easy mode, like I was saying earlier, is going to be a challenge. All in all, Sifu is a wonderful blend of martial arts movies of the past, modern art, and challenging gameplay. It's not for everyone, and I stress that. Really, this game is not going to be for everyone, and it has its flaws. But this game is a must-play if you're a fan of fighting games, or if you're a fan of beat-em-up games. Definitely check this game out. So, those are the video game recommendations of the week that you should consider adding to your video game backlog list. If you want me or my community of gamers to give you feedback on your backlog list, then join us in the Single Player Experience Discord server. Once you're in, feel free to share your backlog list or talk about good single player game experiences that you've had lately. The link to join the free Single Player Experience Discord server is in the show notes. This has been the Single Player Experience Weekly Recap episode, where I break down every single game that was talked about during the week. It comes to you every single Friday, and I hope to catch you next Friday for the next week's recap episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one. Peace.